Good morning. People often ask themselves or ask publicly, why is it that my parish priest doesn't speak up? Why doesn't he talk about all the evil things going on in the world in his homilies? Why are the homilies in my ordinary Catholic parish, where the priest looks like he has the faith, why are his homilies always safe? Why do they never talk about sin, the consequences of sin, how rotten the culture has gotten? Why doesn't he take a stand? Why doesn't my bishop take a stand? Why? And sometimes the answer is obvious when it comes to your bishop. The example of Bishop Joseph Strickland, or the bishop from Puerto Rico, or any number, actually, of the, any, really, there are like 25, 30 examples in the last 10 years of bishops who took a Catholic position on something or multiple topics, ended up being forced into early retirement by Francis, despite there being a shortage of men willing to be bishops. He still removed them from the episcopate because they weren't pastoral enough. They weren't willing to accompany people instead of their propensity for saying Catholic-sounding things. That explains the bishops. But why your priests? Aside from there being a fair number of rotten men in the episcopate who will 100% agree with the world on a whole bunch of issues like that James Martin issue or other issues, but why won't they? So we're going to go over a story that has just broken, but has been simmering in the background for the last 6 weeks. I know, because for the last 6 weeks, I've been getting the occasional message from a viewer who would give me updates on the situation as it was brewing. You have the case of a priest who objected to, we'll say, certain kinds of material being read to the youngest Catholics. We're talking people who have not, who are so young they have not actually received confirmation yet, or even First Communion. Okay, this is a subject you have to be a little bit careful with. It comes to mind the people who look like they were in Halloween costumes in the secular reading system, and they would always read to the most vulnerable. You know that story. That story that's almost become passé. No one talks about it anymore, really, except when some egregious, particularly egregious case of it happens, because it's so common. Something like that, except without the Halloween costume, happened in Michigan. And the priest took a stand, and he riled up the local community. This is not a community, by the way, known outside as being one of the hotbeds of the ideology of the flesh. We're not talking Portland, where I'm from originally, or Boston, or Chicago, or San Francisco, or Los Angeles. We're not talking places like that. This is a relatively small community that this happened in. And the community quite literally took to the streets to make their voice heard and to force this priest to resign. I'm going to go over this story now. So I suggest you keep this priest in your prayers and pray for all of those we're going to talk about today, including the people who are trying to bring the church down in this, because that's essentially what they're doing. They object fundamentally to a Catholic priest saying Catholic things and taking a Catholic stand against an evil that we've almost become so used to that we're numb to it. Don't allow yourself to become numb to these things. Phlebitis, you don't know how close to the truth you are with that. Preachers preaching against sin, why it's just no longer fashionable. It makes people uncomfortable. You're going to see how very correct you are about this. Pardon me, you got issues this morning. But there are consequences of speaking up, says Small Rails, and that is exactly what happened here. So we're going to go back in time to, well, most of this comes from the secular, to a secular outlet that's reporting on this. And give me a second here. This is way worse than I thought it was going to be. All right. So our article is from the Morning Sun. This is the local newspaper up in that community where all this went down. This was written in the aftermath of the story where people were reading things to that they shouldn't have been reading to people who should not have heard them. So their headline is Father Held's Letter to St. Joseph the Worker Parish. March 13th. Again, 6 weeks ago, give or take. Dear school parents and all parishioners of St. Joseph the Worker, recently a guest who does not represent the values of our Catholic faith read to our pre-K children as part of our March is Reading Month activities. To my knowledge, the book and any related conversation was appropriate for our students. A St. Joseph teacher was present in the room at all times. I was unaware that the guest had been invited. As your pastor, I will see to it that a new vetting policy is put in place in order to minimize anything of the sort from happening again in the future. Thank you for your fidelity to the faith. Signed, Father Tom Held, pastor of St. Joseph the Worker Church. And we'll just leave that part up there so you can see the crux of it. The author was a member of the James Martin crowd, we'll see. In the broader world, a lot of people would say, even if the book was fine, what's the big deal? Well, it used to be that Catholics, we wouldn't want anybody who didn't live our values at teaching anything to anybody in the church. That used to be how it was. You still see Catholic schools getting in trouble for this. You will find they will have an instructor who comes in, who gets hired. They sign the profession saying that they will live according to the values professed and taught by the Catholic Church. They sign it without intending to agree to it. And then it comes out that they don't live those values at all. And then they get terminated. Imagine, for instance, let's take that, the James Martin stuff out of this for a second. Imagine you had a teacher there who was discovered to, they had a side gig, we'll say, and that side gig was putting impure images and videos up online for money. That would make big headlines, and that teacher would be removed. That's what would happen, right? Same here with this issue. This has happened multiple times across the country, and often it ends up in the courts, and sometimes the courts side with the church, sometimes they don't. Depends where you are. But that letter there was sort of the beginning of the problem here. So let me just double check here because some of my things got out of order, which is unfortunate. All right. So you're going to have this story here. What ended up happening was 4 days later, word got out about this. And this is what ended up happening. Not that one. See, this is what happens. If I told you how many tabs I'd open, you would think there was a problem. I'll just say. But what ended up happening is word got out to the community, and this happened. So on the 17th of March, Feast of St. Patrick, the Morning Sun, the same outlet, reports this. And so you have people outside protesting outside of a Catholic church, trying to get him to resign. They are bringing their power and the power of the world against a Catholic church. And with the subtitle, the headline is not that important because the picture tells you everything, but the picture under the picture says that community members and former St. Joseph the Worker parishioners, they chant a typical secular chant here that I won't say on this platform, following last week's controversy over local author Dominic Thrasher reading to preschool children. So there you go. They wanted his resignation. So here's the story from the local secular outlet. They're the same outlet that's published the priest letter 4 days earlier. It's almost as if they were helping. This was a church issue that should have stayed inside the church. But for whatever reason, the local secular newspaper decided to chime in. As the bells of St. Joseph the Worker in Beale City chimed before 10:30 a.m. Mass on Sunday, they were drowned out by certain secular chants here. I'll make it so you can see that a little bit better. A crowd of supporters of the James Martin crowd and their claims, who are concerned about the direction the parish has taken since Father Tom Held became its priest, marched to St. Joseph to spread the word of love and inclusion. Okay, so note here. They were concerned about the direction the parish has taken since this priest became its pastor. You're going to see here that all he has is a mainstream Catholic view of things, at least what should be. Now, we know from the Pew Research data that the typical Catholic at your ordinary form parish does not agree with the church's teaching on James Martin stuff, on being fruitful, multiplying, on who can and can't receive Holy Communion and the limits of holy ordination, on the limits of holy orders. That's the tip of the iceberg. But yet this priest has actual Catholic attitudes about things. So they were concerned about the direction the parish has taken since Father Tom Held became its priest. To the point where they picked up signs during Mass, instead of being at Mass and worshiping God, they sent their message that way. The priest made a critical error here. He apologized for that letter. Held's apology last week for local author... Well, okay, my bad. Misread that. Held's apology last week for local author Dominic Thrasher's visit to read his book, The Adventures of C.C. and the Sheriff, came as the last straw for some parishioners, while the others left the church much earlier. So again, here's your priest. If he's left earlier, that means this is a priest who reined things in at his local, typical, ordinary form parish, doing things like probably preaching the gospel, the authentic gospel, and talking about the consequences of sin at least once in a while. I've told the story before, and I'll tell it again. One of the last times I went to an ordinary form Mass, there was a priest, otherwise a good priest. He did the first part of the, you know, the liturgy of the word. He did all those things. And then when it came time to go up to give his homily, he stood there as if he was collecting himself first, as if he was visibly nervous about giving his homily. Then he gave his homily. It was one of the ones that didn't start with some sort of self-deprecating dad joke or anything. Gave a homily on the four last things. It had been a very long time since I'd seen that at any ordinary form Catholic parish. After Mass, I thanked him for that because we need to actually hear those things. But it was almost as if he was afraid of what the consequences would be because he told the basic truth about sin and its consequences. Thankfully, his parish community was at least theologically somewhat conservative, so they didn't object. That priest stayed there for a while longer before the natural reassignment cycles happened at that parish and he was moved somewhere else as a normal course of things. He'd been there for 10 years or something when they finally reassigned him. We'll continue. Before the group gathered in the public right-of-way in front of the church on North Wind Road to urge Held to resign, some former parishioners spoke of why they left the parish as supporters of Thrasher in a more inclusive Catholic church amassed in the Beale City High School parking lot. Other community members spoke out as well. And then here you're going to get the typical stuff. Let me give you this one. This one person said that this one person here told the crowd that he began attending both Catholic and Methodist churches after he and his wife married so both could keep their faith they held throughout their lives. Here's your first mistake. The church has always said marrying outside the Catholic faith is a really bad idea. And so the priest was asked by this person, the nominal Catholic, about this. He said that Held told him attending a Methodist church was a sin and that he would not go to heaven. That is what the church would have said to him since the Protestant Revolution. That's what the church would have said. 500 years of continuous teaching. During a later private meeting with Held, according to Lynch, the priest walked it back, saying practicing Catholicism to be more direct route to heaven. And there's your post-conciliar answer. See where the differences are. The man said he and his wife are proud parents of a member of the James Martin crowd, and the priest was hiding behind archaic Old Testament practices and suggested Held not hold a position in which he has to communicate with others. The church has to get with the times, folks. In fact, you see this. You got a restaurant person here, owner here, saying that the church needs to get with the times. You have a whole lot of this. And then, of course, everyone at the secular world's favorite Bible quote that they always take out of context. They always do this. And they talk about how it's a stain on the community. Pointing at the church, Schaefer said, "This is a building." Waving his hands into the crowd, "This is a community." What I have heard through the grapevine, because I've been in communication with someone who actually goes to that parish, that while this stuff began, you had the inside attendance at Mass was packed, standing room only, and that people, there were men of the parish who were prepared to actually stand between the priest and those outside if need be. And that the priest gave a homily at some point during this time period where he talked about how he historic persecutions of Catholics and that it was here again. looking at that, that's absolutely true. But unfortunately, that's not the end of the story. So we go here 1 week later. They're now, those outside were telling people that it was time to contact the diocese. March 25th. In the days since the first peaceful protest near the doors of St. Joseph the Worker Catholic Church in Beale City, several business owners have joined the group of people asking the Diocese of Saginaw to remove its priest. And then it gives you a lot of, you know, the talking points from the same people, in addition to urging former parishioners and others to share their accounts of what they describe as held troubling behavior. Organizers of the protest are asking those who had issues with the priest to write to the Diocese of Saginaw's review board to report their concerns. Again, you wonder why your typical parish priest doesn't give the homilies they need to. You've asked him privately, and he says, I agree with you 100% on whatever social issue you ask him about. But then he can't. So he gives those boring homilies. You know, it's fine. Homilies don't need to be exciting. They need to instruct you about the faith. But when it becomes consistent that there's nothing being said about what's going on in the world, you begin to understand why that is. And I understand why they don't do it. I'm not even saying it's bad necessarily that they don't do it. It's between them and God. But at some point, they have to take a stand. And it can happen. So, for instance, a lot of priests who don't give the kind of firebrand homilies that we would all love them to give, a lot of them do it by private conversation. You ask them privately about all these issues, and they will, and it's not even really privately. Like, you could ask them in your parish hall where there's, you know, where people have their coffee and donuts after Mass, and they will, within earshot of 40 people, who could eavesdrop in and tell you to give you the hardline Catholic teaching on things. It's usually fine, but still there's a difference between even that and the homily. Anyway, they say that letters to the Diocese of Saginaw's Bishop Robert Gruss and its superintendent Cormac Lynn are important, but sadly a lot of those letters are getting no response, and they should get no response, or the response they should get should be a press release saying we stand with our priest. That's what should be the response. The bishops should stand with the priest who taught what the church always has taught. And that this could be an illustration of how far the world has gone in the wrong direction. This person suggesting people complain to the diocese that they think their complaints be directed to the diocese review board. This is a lay body. And that's they include dates or date ranges with as much detail as possible. All the mean things the priest said. Oh, we need to have a church that's indistinguishable from the world, that makes us feel good. Oh, that's what they're talking about. And then a lot of people posted things online. But even this, the article is skewed in favor of those against the priest. They make this sound like here that this is all, everyone is against the priest, but that's not actually what's going on here. I know this because I've been speaking to somebody who goes to Mass there, who tells you that a lot of the laity there are with the bishop and with the priest. Well, they were with the priest, not so much the bishop, as you'll see why. Because, and now here we are, 30th of April. Now, this wasn't published yesterday. This was published a couple days ago by LifeSite. James Martin activist dissident Catholics throw Michigan parish into chaos by ousting priest, shaming parishioners. So yes, the priest has resigned. There's a picture of the priest. Note that he's wearing a cassock. Okay, very happy to see the cassock coming back among American priests. Long storied history about why Catholic priests wear essentially business suits with collars in the United States, but the cassock is making a comeback, and God bless them all for doing it. LifeSite's report says, quote, a group of James Martin types in conjunction with dissident Catholics. Again, this is the dissident here means we don't agree with what the church says on these things, so we're going to reject what the church actually says and bring in the gospel of the world. Seeking vengeance on a conservative-minded priest have succeeded in forcing him from his parish. Bishop Robert Gruss of the Diocese of Saginaw announced earlier this month that the unfortunate situation surrounding Father Tom Held in Beale City had resulted in the priest stepping down. The division, lack of charity, and the wounds caused by the division in the St. Joseph the Worker parish community has brought deep sadness to the Lord Jesus, the bishop remarked. Held first drew criticism from multiple local media outlets a month ago when he issued an apology on the church's Facebook page after an unauthorized appearance of a writer to those who should not have been in the room with the writer. Thrasher, a known 44-year-old James Martin type in a parody of Matrimony, an author from the area, was invited to the school by a teacher who a source says is not Catholic. Aha. The children he read to were enrolled in a state-funded program that was renting space in the building. So for those of you who are get a little nervous whenever the church and the state do anything together, you can add this to your list of examples of why. In fact, the priest actually never mentioned the writer by name, never said anything about their inclinations. Held, who was never informed about his appearance, announced that a new vetting policy would be put in place to ensure students are not exposed to persons who are not trained in being around children and who do not represent the values of our Catholic faith. That should have been there to begin with, not because of this reading issue, but because of the old Ted McCarrick Boston problem. I'm a little surprised they didn't have that there anyway, because most parishes run by thoughtful priests have this. And clearly this priest is thoughtful. It's easy to miss these kinds of policy issues when they come up sometimes. But it's a little surprising they didn't have the policy in place anyway. The priest's Facebook post has been deleted. What they used the post against him. Over several weekends in April, crowds of up to 50 persons were outside the church, letting them know about how wrong Catholicism is, basically. There's nothing righteous about being mean disguised as religion. Love thy neighbor, no exceptions. Remember, they're using the definition of love offered by the secular world to make their point here. Love truly means, one, being willing to give up everything for someone else. That is what our Lord did for us. And two, it means telling someone the truth about what they're doing and the path they're on and the consequences of what path they will be on if they don't change. That priest showed love for the parish and for the community when he took the stands that he did. That caused people to be quite upset with him. And now he has no job. Will he be given a job in the chancery? Will he be quietly shipped away to a diocese with a more friendly bishop who will place him somewhere in some anonymous rural parish somewhere where he can likely say things again? Remember, this isn't an urban parish to sell. This was a rural parish. I don't know what would happen if he were at the ordinary form parish that's 2 minutes from my house. I don't know. Because I've seen some weird emails from there too. Although they now have a different priest, so I don't know if the thing said there would fly under this new one. But one has to wonder what would happen and what's going to happen. Will he be without a job? I haven't been able to get those details about what his fate has been because he told the truth about the sins the world has predictably fully embraced and then the logical extension of those sins. So much for saving souls, says Sonny. That is absolutely correct. Linnea would like some prayers, so please pray for her intentions. Sonny Jim says, in some ways, this persecution is welcomed. We were told this would happen. For me, when prophecy is fulfilled, it strengthens my faith. Wish more people had that attitude about it. Raven Ray points out there are a lot of Chaldean Christians, both of the Catholic and Orthodox variety, in Michigan. Yeah, I don't know if he has the ability to offer the Mass in their form of the Divine Liturgy or not. Be interesting for someone who might be able to contact him to find out, because he could possibly go work with that group who are going to be much more well-grounded. The Shattuck says, this is basically the same thing that happened in our former parish. A few people chased a holy priest out of the congregation. We are now going to another church. That's what happens. They spoke with people who disagreed with the church on everything. Who want essentially a group hug, me and Jesus kind of Catholicism. I don't know why people want that. even a surface level reading of what the church taught until 1960 tells you that that the attitude of the self-professed former Catholics out there, or Catholics who are broad, more broad-minded, we'll say, they that nothing that they advocate for would have been recognized as historic Catholicism historically. And if they advocate for such things, the question is, if they understand that, why would they, if the church was wrong about the things that they advocate for historically, why would they stick around in the church? Because they don't believe the church has the authority to teach. That its moral authority, it was built as a house of cards, just some claims it made. So why stay? I don't understand. If you believe the church has always been wrong on a couple of rather critical things, you don't believe the church's claims that it is the guardian of the truth of Jesus Christ. You don't believe it. Because if you did believe it, you would conform your heart and your soul and your mind to what the church teaches. Mary Woolley says, seems as if synodality is already at least in part being practiced. Laity telling the priest what or what not to preach. Coming to a parish near you. Priests are scared of saying sin or sanctifying grace, and many, many more. Very sad. Right. Oh, I've seen them use the term sanctifying grace, but never define what it means, because then you have to inevitably get to a talk about attachment to sin. No, I can't have that anyway. All right, folks. Final thoughts here before we wrap this up. This is, please pray for the priest and yes, everybody in the story who is, everybody in the story. You know, if we again, my general rule is if we talk about something here, any folks are brought up here and they upset you, we cause your interior peace to be riled up, pray for them. It's the first and most important thing you can do for a conversion of their own heart. Also pray that you have the ability, that God grant you the grace to see things clearly. And pray for me as well. These are the kind of issues I really dislike talking about, but they have to be spoken about. And to that end, I have a priest who emailed me this morning who has a written statement he'd love me to read and publish on my website. So I'm going to do that later in the week, but I'm going to make sure he's okay with that, because I'm pretty sure that I am seen as operating more on the fringes of the traditional things than some of my well-known peers are. All right, folks, thank you very much for tuning in today. Good morning to those of you joining us late. I do suggest you start this from the beginning. This is a pretty important one. Please pray for Father Tom Held up in Michigan, wherever he is, that he may be able to continue an active ministry, or that at least the diocese will continue to support him and find something useful for him to do. And if not, that he find some other means of continuing to do the much needed work of a priest, because he was teaching the faith and paid the consequences for it. So always pray for the church. I'm Anthony Stein. Ave Maria.